Hello and welcome back to another episode of Short Shift, brought to you by Keeping Carlson on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Ben Burnett. Joining me, my pal and yours, Louis Ezekiel. Louis, how are you doing this fine evening?
Doing very nice. We're starting to get a little meltdown on the snow. The roads are clearing up a little bit. It's starting to look like the end of winter is in sight, which will be kind of nice, I think.
Do you find we just got smashed with a bunch of snow yesterday? And I mean, it is melting quickly, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like winter's going to be over soon.
Oh, well, winter's never done in Michigan until you get some snow in April. I don't know how it is for you up in St. John, but I imagine it must be pretty similar, I would guess.
It is. Folks, you're here not to listen to us talk about the season, though. You're here to hear us talk about fantasy season. Of course, Short Shift, a twice-weekly check-in between the ginormous Sunday evening episodes of Keepin' Carlson to keep you up to date with fantasy news, takes, and analysis. If you don't hear us talk about a player you want to hear about, you can always reach out to us on Twitter at ShortShiftsKK or by joining the Keepin' Carlson patron Discord group. That's a fantastic resource to get advice from the smartest fantasy hockey crowd in the world. Check it out, keepincarlson.com/patron. All right, Louis, let's get into our first headline here. And of course, we have to start in New York City, where the superstar on my terrible Rangers, Artemi Panarin, has gone on a self-imposed exile as he deals with some allegations relating to an incident, assault allegations from when he played as an 18-year-old in Russia. I don't really know what's going on with Artemi Panarin. I don't have any insight into when he will be back, but I do have one fantasy hockey take, which is Colin Blackwell's a little bit interesting, eh? He's taking Panarin's spot on line one, playing with Lafreniere and Zibanejad, and he's also taking his top power play spot with Zibanejad, Strome, Kreider, and Adam Fox. You know, if you're looking for a little stream here, the Rangers play a Wednesday, Friday, Sunday schedule. That's really rare. Most teams are going to be stock full Thursday, Saturday. So if you are in a deep league and you're feeling desperate, maybe you can grab Blackwell there.
Yeah, seems like an interesting pick. He's had some success in his limited time on the ice so far. And so, you know, obviously being put in a better position, I think he could potentially be productive. But there's a lot of other guys we're going to talk about today who seem pretty interesting. Maybe we can compare Blackwell to some of them as we go.
Yeah, he's a deep league guy. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about him. But I do think that that's, you know, that seems to be the guy who may get a better shot here after the Panarin news. Louis, you have a take that you wanted to share with us. I would love to give you the space to drop that.
Yeah, so I feel like we've started to hit the time of year where, at least for the time being, it seems like our postponements are paused for the most part. I will be knocking furiously on wood as I talk about this. But, you know, the best fantasy GMs should be looking to maximize every possible marginal advantage, right? That's what the show is about. And so I was thinking about the disparity in games played between teams because we were discussing a few trades that on paper seemed like no-brainers, but ultimately got complicated by the number of games remaining that some of these teams had, specifically looking at Malkin or Mika Zibanejad trade for Elias Pettersson. You know, Pettersson certainly is outperforming them both. But the fact that, you know, there's such a gulf in games played between the two teams, you'd lose 6 Malkin games or 7 Mika games. That's well over 10% of the season. So thinking about that, you know, when you're going into your trades, you know, the teams with the most played games are Vancouver with 23 after Tuesday night. All of these numbers are counting games on Tuesday here as we record. So Vancouver's played 23, Edmonton, Ottawa, and Detroit with 21 apiece, Columbus and Chicago with 20. While our teams with the fewest games played, we have Dallas with 13, the New Jersey Devils with 14, Colorado and Philadelphia with 15 each, and then 4 teams, Buffalo, Minnesota, the Rangers, and Boston with 16 games played. So I think it's just valuable and important to be thinking about these, you know, compressed schedules and these opportunities for these players to score some extra games. And especially when you're thinking about trades, you know, if you think that it could help you maybe reduce the price on a Canadian division player or a Hawk or a Red Wing, if God knows why you're trying to trade for a Red Wing. Or you could potentially trade down, you know, maybe in terms of talent, but get a schedule upgrade that may make up for any points that you lose, and maybe you can get a sweetener to boot. So just, I've been thinking about this a little bit. You know, it opens up some opportunities for you to, you know, pick up free agents who are going to get extra games, trade to gain some extra games for your season. And it seems like also goalie backups may get some more opportunities. I know that Ullmark is playing both sides of the back-to-back here, but I imagine for a lot of them it'll be, you know, goalie one and goalie two. So there may be some more streaming opportunities available there as well. So just something to keep in mind as we look to mine for every bit of advantage we can find. Make sure that you are carefully keeping in mind these games played totals as you are thinking about entering into the trade market.
So the one thing that I do think it's important to keep in mind here is that we're seeing a ton of postponements. And so I've noticed more and more of the postponed games are going after May 2nd, which I know in the Cupful is the last day of the season. So one thing that I am concerned about is that a lot of players that, you know, in particular Dallas and New Jersey appear to be getting games that may be outside of your fantasy schedule. So this is the sort of thing where you need to go and do a little bit of legwork to see, okay, how many games are left within my league and my in my format. But yeah, I'm totally on board otherwise. I mean, looking at the schedule, it's unfortunate that Dallas and Jersey do not have, you know, there's no real superstar on either of those teams, because when I look at Elias Pettersson having 23 games played already and Dallas having just 13, it's like no brainer. Like if I could flip Pettersson for a superstar in Dallas, I'd do it, but I don't know that there's anyone on that team I would be willing to really like. It just feels like such a downgrade. But looking up a little bit further at Colorado, maybe at 15, maybe you could flip Pettersson for a Rantanen. Do you think you could find a deal like that somewhere?
Yeah, that seems like a definite possibility. Those are two players that I think we can, you know, consider within the same space as each other, and especially if everybody stays healthy in Colorado for a change, I like that as an option.
All right, Lewis, we're going to move on here to our final headline of the night. We have to talk about Trevor Zegras, the rookie sensation that has played just one game in the NHL now, but he lit up the World Junior Championship just before the season, and everybody is so hype about him. Maybe not in every league, but I know in the Cupful he was added in 22 of 23 divisions after his call-up on Sunday. He played his first game Monday with Sam Steele and Jakob Silverberg. Two shots on goal, just 13 minutes of ice time and no points. But he did get 4.5 minutes on the power play with Ricard Raquel, Steele, Silverberg, and Shattenkirk. Lewis, are you interested in Zegras? Would you be adding him in any leagues?
I think he is very exciting from a hockey and hockey's future perspective. I think it's great that, you know, he's getting some time up with the big team. He feels like you can't, you know, swing a tweet around without, you know, running into five different GIFs of his silky mitts, right? But in terms of fantasy, I am not especially interested. I know that he was added all over the place. I think this is a lot of excitement, especially from the prospect people. Of course, his potential is extremely high, but I do think that the team that he's playing for is going to limit his possibilities, especially early on here. So great to see him in the league. Very excited to see what he can do. I am not running out to pick him up and add him to my fantasy team.
I think there are some, I mean, in a keeper league, it's one thing. And I think that I could make some roster space for him just to kind of see what happens in some keeper leagues. In a one-year league, I think unless I'm already cruising, or I have like a streamer spot and it just kind of works out where he fits in, like I'm not making, you know, going out of my way to get Trevor Zegras on any of my 1 year league teams.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, Lewis, let's talk about a couple of injuries and outries here. Actually, we just have some injuries. We're just two that I want to talk about. Last night, we saw a Leafs Flames game where both goaltenders were announced to be out for the game like within an hour of puck drop. Obviously, for the Leafs, losing Frederik Andersen is a big blow, and they had to put in Michael Hutchinson, a player who I think we've all learned not to trust at this point. But in Calgary, they have a backup who's a little bit more interesting. Big Save Dave Riddick came in and posted a shutout on the, you know, league scorching Maple Leafs. Even Austin Matthews can't get a goal on Big Save Dave. So my question for you, Lewis, while Markstrom is out, are you interested in streaming in BSD?
Yeah, so it seems like Riddick is going to get at least another game. Obviously, we want to stay close to the news here and see how things are going. You don't want to hold on to him after he becomes dead weight. I do have some interest in Riddick, at least in the short term. You know, he has shown that he can take on this, you know, number one role when called upon to do so. You know, he certainly battled it out before Markstrom's arrival in Calgary. So, yeah, I think I do have some interest in him. Obviously, shutting out the Leafs is a huge first step and makes a great first impression. For fantasy-wise, I mean, yeah, we've seen that Markstrom has been very successful behind that team. It's a team with a solid blue line. I think I would be interested in grabbing him for a few games here, especially because the matchups get a little more favorable here later in the week.
And finally, in Toronto, we also have Jake Muzzin out week to week indefinitely with a broken bone in his face. In the short term, at least, Mikko Lehtinen has drawn in. He's getting some power play two time. I'm not really interested in Lehtinen until we see him putting up some points or, you know, producing in that spot. We've seen him come in and out of the lineup. I'm not getting my hopes too high for Mikko. Coming up, we will chat about some hot streaks and some cold streaks. You're listening to Short Shifts. Welcome back to Short Shifts. Lewis, let's talk about some streaks. We're going to start in LA, where our old friend Jonathan Quick has had a bit of a career renaissance these past handful of games. I know we've talked about Cal Peterson as being the guy who we thought would be the save percentage king out in LA, but two shutouts in Quick's last three starts. You'd think maybe Peterson has run cold, but no, he's been good too. Quick has just wrestled back the lion's share of the starts. I would think that, you know, it's kind of the Bobrovsky syndrome. Quick has the contract, so of course if he's playing well, you're going to give him the starts because you're not paying him to ride the pine. But it's very interesting to see Quick do this well. He is racking up the ads on Yahoo, and I understand why. If you're looking for starts and there's a guy who's just cleaning up in shutouts every other game, it's tough not to bet on him. Unfortunately, when I look at the Kings numbers and I wonder, oh, is this team actually kind of good? Like, their goalies are doing well. They're a bottom five team by shot metrics. They are last in the league in expected goals for percentage. I don't think that this team is very good. I think that they're just getting incredible goaltending. I trust that to last a little bit more from Peterson than I do from Quick. And I guess I should give the Kings offense a little bit of credit. I mean, they're shooting at a high percentage, but they do have some offense this year, which is something we didn't really expect. And, you know, respect to obviously Anze Kopitar, but then Alex Iafallo, a guy they mentioned on the mega show on Sunday. Kempe is a guy we've talked about. Dustin Brown. Jeff Carter's been better this year. So, you know, the Kings are obviously decent. And I think that Peterson is the guy I'm more sure will be good longer term, but it is nice to see Quick regain a bit of form here over the past couple games.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there. One thing about you mentioned the scoring, and like, yeah, it may dry up, and that's kind of what I would be worried about with them. Those goalies are really nice when they're getting some run support so that you can put some wins up on the board. But again, like you said, if they are overperforming to the extent that you kind of are talking about, I think that we may have a few concerns about the viability long term of those two goalies to remain really productive, at least in terms of being able to provide wins if, you know, Dustin Brown is not going ham every other game for him.
All right, Lewis, who do you got next for us?
All right, so I want to talk about a cold streak in New York. Adam Fox, who we have talked just a ton about so far this season, is on a bit of a cold streak here. I brought him up as being very similar to Shea Weber, who now has two goals on tonight's game here on Tuesday. So we'll focus on Fox right now. He has put together 16 shots over the course of his six pointless games. He's getting tons of total minutes and power play minutes. He's getting his blocks, but hardly hitting as per usual. Are we worried about him, or do you feel like this is a time to make a buy low offer to the Fox owner and try to get your hands on a D-man who has played 24 minutes or more for the last 10 games and is getting deployed on power play one?
Yeah, I think I am buying him in categories leagues because he's continuing to put up peripherals, and I think that he will be at the very least decent offensively. I'm definitely not as psyched on him offensively, like in points leagues right now, like the Kakupful, for example, because, you know, losing Panarin and the Rangers aren't able to score, and like no matter how good he is, he's not going to drive an entire offense by himself. He's not that good. So I am definitely, you know, I have some upside concerns about him, but I overall am I do think he's still like, you know, top 10, top 15 defenseman in categories leagues at least.
Yeah, Elon always says that what he likes to see is to make sure that they are still shooting, and he's averaging almost 3 shots a game even throughout this pointless streak. I think I am a hold as well. So yeah, I think we're on the same page there.
All right, I'll take the next cold streak here. We're talking about Victor Arvidsson in Nashville. 0 points in 7 games, only 7 points in 17 games, all of them obviously coming in the first 10 games of the season. Arvidsson is shooting a ton still. It's been nice to see him keep up those early career shot rates, but unfortunately, he still isn't finding the back of the net, shooting at 3.5%. I am still hanging on to Arvidsson in deeper leagues, like the Kakupful 14-team leagues, but I am more than happy to stream him out in 10 or 12-team leagues for a player who's actually producing right now, because I assume that in shallower leagues, there are guys who are doing things. I'd keep him on the watch list, but yeah, it's tough to get overly excited about a guy in Nashville that's not producing. Lewis, why don't you tell us about our next player?
All right, I got a hot streak in Buffalo. So along with Eichel and Olofsson, Sam Reinhart completes the trio of Sabres who are being quite productive right now, and is the least rostered of the three at only 52% on Yahoo, although naturally he is 100% owned in the Kakupful. He has 7 points in the 6 games since Buffalo returned to play, and 9 in 7 if you include that last game versus the Rangers before the break. He is really enjoying, I think, picking up these assists on the power play, just passing the puck over to Olofsson to rip it into the net. So that is definitely a guy that I would be looking out for. Surprised to see he was rostered so little on Yahoo. So if he is still sticking around, he's on quite the streak. He's getting top deployment. Yeah, it's Buffalo, and Buffalo's not that exciting, but they do seem to be getting their feet under themselves after that COVID break. So go check your waiver wire and see if Sam Reinhart is hanging out there, and snap him up if you get the opportunity.
All right, and finally, we are going to talk about a trio in Minnesota that lit it up Monday night. Of course, I'm talking about Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, and Victor Rask. Zuccarello goes off for 4 points, 3 for Rask, and 2 for Kirill on Monday evening. In deep leagues, Kaprizov already needs to be owned. In even some shallow leagues, this is probably a guy I'm looking at. I'm not really interested in Rask unless we're looking at deep, deep leagues. And Zuccarello is somebody who I would definitely be speculatively adding if I have a roster space in a 12 or 14 team league while he's, you know, been this hot, 7 points since coming back off the IR to start the year in 4 games. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about Victor Rask, somebody who might be not quite on the radar of some of our listeners.
Yeah, certainly not being added at the same rate as the other two on the list, although Kaprizov should be owned pretty much everywhere already. You know, this is Victor Rask, widely dragged return piece in the Nino Niederreiter trade. But he is just on a wild shooting percentage run right now. He's got 4 goals on his last 6 shots lining up here between Kaprizov and Zuccarello. He is only getting power play 2 time, but his time on ice has increased significantly. Before this run of 6 points in 4 games, he was in single-digit minutes for ice time. He's been above 14 minutes in each of the last 3 games. That's about the bare minimum I'm willing to tolerate, I think, for a forward. You know, obviously the shooting is not going to continue like this, but he is an interesting piece between a couple of good players who are on fire right now. And with more games to play than most other teams, he could be a sneaky value add. He is hardly owned across Kakupful and Yahoo. And, you know, for decent reason, he's never been especially exciting, and he is certainly playing far above his head right now. But somebody to keep an eye on to potentially, you know, slot in when you have the opportunity, when, you know, maybe they get one of their back-to-backs and they're playing on a low number of games night, he could be useful for you.
All right, Lewis, that's it for us tonight. For myself, Ben Burnett, I'm out of here. Why don't you sign us off?
All right. Well, thank you, as always, for joining us. Please be sure to give us a follow at ShortShiftsKK, as well as Brian and Elon at Keeping Carlson. You can get Dave Betton of the Stream Scheme at NHL Stream Scheme. Please visit and patronize the excellent websites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, RotoWorld, Natural Stat Trick, and the awesome cacupful.com. Does your league have its own website? This is pretty awesome. So please check it out if you haven't already. Our intro and outro music were created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.